In this episode, you'll discover the number one most powerful marriage-transforming strategy you'll ever hear about. So welcome in, Heroic Husbands, to the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is your one podcast for learning everything you need to know to become the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. I hear you cry, what's in it for me, Mark? Well, the three specific benefits you'll gain by listening to the end of this episode are: number one, you'll learn the one major strategic difference between the great masculine leaders in any arena and the pretenders who never reach their leadership potential. Number two, you'll understand why, if you want to ever feel freedom and fulfillment in marriage, you simply can't ignore this strategy. You'll understand the why behind that. Number three, you'll learn to access arguably the most powerful marriage transforming tool I've ever created for free. You'll learn how to access that at the very end here. So let's jump in. The heroic humility part of this episode is, you know, do you ever get this background feeling in your marriage that it has slowly but surely gotten to this point of same shit, different day? SSDD. That's when they're my abbreviations for this. SSDD. Same shit, different day. 95%, well, I'd say 95% of husbands out there live this as a daily reality. The majority of them aren't aware that it has got the same shit, different day. This is the real major crux for us. It's like, as men, we have this main subconscious strategy in this profoundly sick society where we have experienced such emotional trauma that we don't tap in to what we are feeling. What are the emotions that are driving us forward? There's such an all-pervasive lack of, like, really consciously recognized purpose as a husband. What's my purpose as a dad? What's the purpose I have when I go down to the breakfast table in the morning and there's chaos there? What's my purpose driving that? What's my purpose going off to work? What's my purpose spiritually? Like, what's my legacy? So in this profoundly sick society, so many men, without having any bit of a toolkit internally to recognize that, we get caught in A to B, making progress, doing shit, fixing shit, solving problems. And we can get a great kick from that, and there can be a lot of really valid, sacred impact that we create in the world, in work and at home, etc., etc. However, there is this all-pervasive elephant in the room in marriages around the world where same shit, different day is all-pervasive. And it is so all-pervasive that you can blink and go by 10 years and you don't notice that it has just slowly crept in, because you're so busy ticking all these boxes, and they're all sacred boxes. You're doing cool things in parenting. You're bringing your kids here and there, and wow, that's amazing. And you're doing cool things at work, and you're doing cool things at the house, and you're doing cool things to mind the dogs. You're doing cool things to, you know, create financial security and put away money for your future. You're doing great things, things. All super fucking cool and valid. And if you can have the presence, you can actually nourish your heart and soul with how sacred and what an honor it is to do all of these things. Yet, doing all of these things, same shit, different day comes in so often. And it's what radically erodes the love. You know, this idea, I don't feel the same love for her anymore. We're not as connected as we used to be. The attraction just isn't there. The worst thing that I'll hear guys saying is like, I've just fallen out of love with her. Or it's the opposite. I'm in love with her, but she's just fallen out of love. The love isn't there. AKA the monster of same shit, different day has just grown and creeped. It's like a mold. Do you ever see a mold that on jam? you have jam or your preserves and whatever, there's a sweet thing in it, or like a sweet fruit. You see, like we get peaches and nectarines, and if you have them in the kitchen, you just see a little teeny tiny bit of mold, and you leave it overnight, but the stove is on, you get up and half the fucking peach or nectarine is gone in the morning. The mold spreads. Look at same shit different day as a mold. You really can't fuck around with that. We don't know the time when, like the worst thing, the worst mistake unwittingly, and the worst sin that guys commit in marriage, and I use the word sin in the conscious terms. The root of the word sin is to miss the mark. There's no morality with it. But the way 99% of husbands are missing the mark in marriage is they don't wake up to the fact that their marriage has got same shit different day, and they're unwittingly ticking all of these boxes, and there's some part for a masculine core being that can do that and feel a sense of purpose in that we're doing shit. But our queen's purpose is union, the feminine cord human being. The major spiritual impulse is to experience the divine union, the togetherness, the bond of love. So same shit different day is like the polar opposite of that connection and that bond of love, the specialness and the uniqueness and the freshness of that bond of love. The fire goes out. They feel that severely, really severely. When if a woman suppresses that to a certain point, I mean, psychosomatic illnesses are, by and large, it's a female-oriented malady or sickness. I remember in my physiotherapy days and working in chronic pain treatment and management, it's when my initial awareness came between, men and women, and fibromyalgia is this widespread pain in the body, really debilitating, but something like 90% of people that experience fibromyalgia are women. I was noticing this widespread issue with wives. They were reporting that their husbands were away at work. The husbands were in the same shit different day and probably had really powerful stories that they told because they were away at work, and they were deeply committed men to serving and providing for their family and producing for their company or the company that they work for, etc., etc. And good men, but their queens were suffering massively. So same shit different day is really something. It's a dragon that you want to slay. Now, the tool I'm going to be introducing you to is the ultimate tool to make sure that same shit different day can never spread like the mold. That was a metaphor that came to me, just literally. I didn't have it in notes or anything, but just really visually imagine that mold on a soft summer fruit, and how a mold, I think anybody will have some experiences of, you thought that fruit that you were about to go get your favorite peach or nectarine, they're my favorite summer fruits, or thing of strawberries, and then shit, mold has went everywhere. Mold can spread, and when it spreads, it brings nothing but death to that nice experience. Same shit different day is like that mold. The tool that I'm going to introduce will eliminate any risk of the mold spreading of same shit different day in your marriage. It's phenomenally powerful. But let's look at the mechanism. It's very important for rational-minded men, like we all tend to be, that the cranial brain gets the reasoning behind a certain tool or a certain idea or a certain dysfunction, that it understands the mechanism, because the cranial brain then and only then goes, when it has fully deduced, yeah, this just makes sense. I'm actually going to experience compounding negative consequences by remaining ignorant to this. This is why I slow down with you guys. And then the cranial brain, rational brain, goes, and it allows the heart brain and the gut brain, the nervous system, the part of the mind that is locked within our, in our body, in our, literally the heart region and the gut region. It allows those brains to start communicating together. So why do 95% of marriages fall into same shit, different day feelings? Like, well, what happens within our nervous systems as men? Same shit, different day has one root cause. We call it different terms. Ego, your persona or personality, the part of your being that you fight tooth and nail to prove, like, you know, you'll fight like to the death to defend it. I'll call it resistance. I want to bring the word resistance as this general term within Heroic Husbands, within the podcast here. So in childhood, I've spoken to this in way more detail previously, but we'll go through it briefly. You form a childhood playbook. You, with trial and error, we're always trialing out. This part of my authentic expression comes true. How is it received by mom and dad, people around me? And we form a playbook of, oh, wow, I brought that part of my expression, but boy, you know, mom didn't hug me when I did that, said that. Dad didn't play with me, didn't come to me when I did that, said that, or didn't do that, didn't say that. So we form this playbook from hundreds, thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of different small to major life events. We formed this playbook, and you could call this childhood playbook your identity. And I bring it upon the core teaching of Tony Robbins. He's not the only one that speaks to it, but he's like really full frontal with this. The identity is the most powerful force in the human psyche. The major issue with our identity, which is the childhood playbook, our persona, personality, who we think we are, identity, they're all sort of interchangeable terms. It's the spawn of all of this trial and error. It's like, yeah, we become this person that we passionately fight to defend who we believe we are. We ultimately defend it so passionately because we feel very weak in it inherently. We know it's built like a, it's like a castle made out of playing cards. It's very, very vulnerable, and hence, you'll know how vulnerable your persona is, your sense of self is, by how passionately you fight to defend yourself in conflict, in marriage, and, you know, how you take things personally. Me of 6.5 years ago, oh my God, everything. I smile and laugh now because I'm quite the far side of it. But like my resistance, that part of my identity, my God, Matilda, like what she had to put up with, I took everything personal. Feedback, I didn't term it as feedback. It was criticism by default. You're just on my case. Why are you always on my case? My God, I can never get anything right. I was taking things personally constantly. So she could never get ahead. She could never trust me. She could never feel safe. So she turned the volume down on all her feedback, and she kept this gnawing pit of hopelessness away from life. And just like we pretended, same shit, different day, with a smile. That's what it was. Same shit, different day, with a smile. We're all fine here. If we get in a bit of a holiday, if we have sex every now and then, you know, things are fine. She learned what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do with me. And I did the same with her, and it was like putrid. It was sad. But we do this. We formed this childhood playbook, and this is our identity. And it's the strongest force in the human psyche because our identity will do everything in its power to validate its existence, to validate its belief system that it's built on. That's why it takes everything so personal. Why we get so triggerable in this identity is, in this profoundly sick society, our identity was formed in an environment where we were told implicitly and explicitly that we were wrong all the time. We were wrong at school to joke, to laugh, to cry at home. You couldn't do this, couldn't say that. Don't be bold. Don't express anger. Don't express mad passion, enthusiasm in those moments. When mom and dad are tired, when mom and dad are sad, when mom and dad are busy, when mom and dad are at the end of the day's work, when mom and dad are busy on the way to school, don't bring your fullness. Don't bring your fullness. You're either too much or too little. So ultimately, we learned the vast majority of our human expression, our emotional human experience, was wrong. That's definitely how we experience it when we were younger. So we're told we're wrong growing up, and we did not have the power, or we didn't perceive we had the power. Clearly, as a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 year old, you don't have the upper hand in that power duel, in that battle with your parents. They're paying the bills, the roof over their head, etc., etc., etc. They feed you, they take you to school, they take you to sport. So it's not a clever idea to really continually give them shit. And the kids that do continually give them shit, they end up having a, like, anyway. Then we get to being adults, and we have this massive load of frozen and stuck emotionality inside of ourselves, where we got so sick and fucking tired of being told we were wrong growing up, that finally, as an adult, I'm now not like 3 foot tall, I'm 6 foot tall, I'm now not fucking 65 pounds, I'm whatever, I'm going into the US pounds version, I'm now, you know, whatever stone kilograms, I'm big now, I'm powerful, I have a voice. So we are so, our emotional baggage is we're sick of being told we're wrong. So we have this massive reservoir of resentment, and we just don't want to be told we're wrong anymore. And who gets the brunt of it all? Our queens. It's the modern tragedy. This is one of the great unspoken tragedies of modern life in humanity. Our queens take the brunt of our resentment with our past relationships. And it's masculine practice to unfuck your own resentment and to be the hero that leads with that. I've spoken to this before. Our queens, 95% of the time when I'm speaking with guys, our queens have brought our kids into the world. They face death bringing our offspring into the world. That is their initiation. Our initiation is to overcome our brokenness, our persona, our resistance, and to spiritually come into our full authentic truth beyond that resistance, so we can lead our family into creating a safe, a secure, authentic, full expression space, a safe space. This is a profoundly masculine-oriented conversation. So our queens end up getting the brunt of our resentment with the world telling us what to do, who to be, that we were wrong, that we didn't matter. They get the brunt of it. And as a result, they meet a person and a nervous system that has zero desire to change. And with 100% resistance to feedback or self-assessment, because we're fighting tooth and nail to proclaim to the world, I know who I am. You know, it's like, stop telling me I'm wrong, I'm not wrong. We get frozen in time and we don't fucking change who we are. Thus, we don't mature as human beings, as lovers, as people who can bring positive impact to the world. And if you don't evolve and if you don't change, if you end up in this same shit, different day identity, that you're always resisting feedback and you're resisting self appraisal of your own persona, objective self-appraisal, to go, does this version of me actually bring great value? Is it being effective? Is this identity that I have, these beliefs that I have, when my body is transmitting a message to my world, to my queen, to my kids, and this message of my body is evoking a response, am I having the honesty to look at, well, it's my body that's transmitting a message in moments when, hey, you're not liking the response it's evoking? That is masculine practice, guys. That is leadership. the one thing I want is like, you know, who's the enemy in all of this? You know, it's like, it's, I think it can be helpful sometimes, not in a victim sense, but to find your anger and to channel it. Now, the tragedy is we're channeling subconscious anger, and it's not, I make the distinction, it's not the anger that I speak of, like that pure anger that knows exactly what it's for and then it puts a boundary. No, it's an aggression and a resentment. It's a horrible energy that is projected on our queens. Well, the real enemy, if you want to say, is this profoundly sick society. I just want to trigger the spiritual fucking soul in every single one of you powerful, amazing men out there. When you recognize who the enemy is, well, I want this one, and this is a bitter pill, but I want you to fucking get a glass of water, put the pill in your mouth, swallow the fucker down, and stew on it. Let this pill intersperse into your entire psyche. Let 100 trillion neurons in your nervous system take this on board. The profoundly sick society has won when you stop self-assessing who you are. This profoundly sick society, which has indoctrinated you into believing that your only great worth as a man is producing for the economy, for your company, for the corporate world, providing for your family and procreating. Producing, providing, procreating. This profoundly sick society that has indoctrinated and imprisoned you and me and fucking countless millions of men into going, that's it. You know, you change a couple of nappies beyond that, and you do one or two romantic gestures like per year beyond that, you're a superhero, because we've been indoctrinated that if you tick those other boxes, those three boxes, the profoundly sick society has won when you stop self-assessing who you are. The bitterest pill is only a broken man or a man who perceives he's broken. Nobody is broken. We've got stuck or frozen trauma in us. So it's not a broken system. The system is actually really, the human organism is functioning perfectly to bring you back to healing. But you've just got to understand the nuances and tell the story internally in a way that is conducive for you coming back into wholeness. But only a man who perceives he's broken subconsciously fears self-assessment. It's fearing the metaphorical looking in the mirror. That's why in movies and like in poetry and in, you know, in songs and story, we talk about the looking in the mirror. You know, can you face the man looking back at you in the mirror? That's the perceived brokenness. Well, only a man who perceives subconsciously that he is broken fears self-assessment. Here's the thing, that profoundly sick society has taken your soul and put it in a safe. The profoundly sick society has you caught by the balls when you are not leaning into self-assessment. Let's take a look at some great leaders from the sporting realm. You know, they're coming to my mind. If you've heard, I think I've spoken about it in the podcast. I never really followed him growing up, Michael Jordan or that, but I clearly knew about it. I like sport, but basketball was never my thing. And yeah, in Ireland, I didn't see much of him, but definitely, you know, the last number of years, particularly on Netflix, the Last Dance, Michael Jordan, the Chicago Bulls, Phil Jackson, an incredible documentary, really, really beautiful and interesting. And I've re-watched that. I think I'm at the fourth time going through it. I watched it the third time and I just immediately started re-watching it, because there's this part of me that is so fascinated with that masculine journey of Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson. Hey, I love that sort of elder style energy, that more mature energy that guided all of these young spiritual warriors into such a radically complete and full expression of their greatest potentiality as men in the arena of basketball. A fucking beautiful story. So this fascination has brought me back again and again. And there's a real key thing. Early days Michael Jordan, who was not winning, I may have brought this in another episode. I won't apologize, because I just think Michael Jordan is one of these larger than life. He's so well known, sort of like a Muhammad Ali of the situation. His early career, he was not winning NBA titles. He was winning most valuable player. He was winning top defender, top scorer, dude, top fucking slam dunk. He was the superstar of all superstars. He was not winning the title that counted, the NBA championship. And reading Phil Jackson, who was his coach in his for the winning period with Chicago Bulls, 6 NBA titles, 3 in a row, and then he had his about 18 months of doing baseball before he returned and won 3 more. It's a phenomenal second part of his career. The second half of his career with the Chicago Bulls involved winning 6 titles, 3 in a row, 3 in a row. It's phenomenal. Now, what is the key difference between the first part, the first half of his career with the Chicago Bulls, and the second part? Well, there's a multitude of different things, but there was one major transition that happened with him. He started taking on feedback, and taking on feedback, he started really doing a radical self-assessment of him, of his identity, of how he was leading. First half, he was bullish. He was determined. He would score, 40, 50, 60 points, and he wanted to be the star, and he believed that if he just remained locked in that rigid sense of self, he could will everybody to win with him. And he was really, obstinate and outspoken with the guys. He wasn't supporting guys in early career. Phil Jackson came in and really challenged him. And it was to Michael Jordan's greatness, ultimately, that he started taking that feedback, and he started taking on a load of self-assessment, deep, soulful, introspective looking at. Ultimately, the message his body was transmitting was evoking a response, and early career, it was not evoking a response of NBA titles that he wanted to experience so much. So I want to bring this in case some of you are like, well, I'm not a sports fan. I don't care about Michael Jordan. I'm listening in, Mark, for, bottom line in my marriage. I'm not trying to win an NBA. Well, Michael Jordan's body is transmitting a message that is winning certain things, but not what he really wants. Look again at this principle. Your body is transmitting a message that is evoking the response that you're having or not having in marriage. You would not be listening in to this title of a podcast if your body was transmitting a message and you were radically happy with the response you were evoking. You just wouldn't. You'd be starting your own podcast. You'd be sending me an email going, Mark, I'm going to coach you, dude. I can do it better than you. And you could, like any man, if you decide on this. So what was really potent in The Last Dance, and it's actually not so well spoken about in The Last Dance explicitly, but there's one part of Phil Jackson's autobiography, I think it's 11 Rings is the name of his autobiography that I've read a few times, is when Michael Jordan comes back. So he wins the first 3 titles, superhero, retires, the world mourns, goes into deep mourning, and then he spectacularly comes back. Well, in the first, he comes back, in the first season he comes back, I think he's they're halfway through the season, etc., etc., and Jordan, the Chicago Bulls aren't doing very well, but when he comes back, I think it's within the first 2 or 3 or 4 games, he goes to Madison Square Gardens, New York Knicks, I think it's New York Knicks, is that how you call the team? The dude's in New York, he whoops ass. He sets a record for Madison Square Gardens. I think he scores 55 points. What's really key, guys, and I want you guys to really lock in on this, because, hey, do you want to perform like your version of a Michael Jordan in your marriage? I want to be winning like the good shit. I don't want to just get the most valuable player, like every now and then get this little Mickey Mouse thing, or like be, I want it all. And I want you guys to fucking want it all, to want the five-star, five-course meal from your married life experience. Because I believe that's the only example I want to gift to my girls, to the generation coming afterwards. The five-star, five-course meal is the only experience I want to give to my queen. Am I there yet? Don't fucking know. But it's definitely infinitely better. There's progress. What Michael Jordan comes back, guys, it's so potent, is he ultimately wins the game in Madison Square Gardens. He scores 55 points. And he comes back and he says to Phil Jackson after the game, he's like, the guys can't and should not expect me to be able to do that sort of heroics again and again. We need to perform better as a team. The early career Michael Jordan loved camping out, loved being the superstar, loved putting it all on himself. 55 points, he loved all the praise, the media, you know, the superstar persona that he built. From self-assessment, he had matured to realize this isn't going to win the big prizes. So can I pull it off by myself? I can, I did. But this is not good enough. Phil, we've got to get the guys working together. And I would say that's like marriage. Guys are sort of like early career Michael Jordan. Have you not found that you try to be the super fucking hero and tick every single box going, oh, but I got the garden done and I did that bit that you asked me and I did the things in town. I know I forgot that little thing, but I did my best and I've tried to do the girls and I've changed the nappies like my dad never did with us and blah, blah, blah. I did all of this stuff. And we do and we do and we do and we do. And our queen just isn't satisfied. So many guys, the vast majority of guys I speak with can recognize that fix it impulse inside. She's unhappy. Let's fix it. And we fix it by doing. Doing, doing, doing. And it just doesn't work. It's like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was doing, 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 doing. The immature younger man. If I can just score 55 points, that's it. No, well, the younger Michael Jordan started profound self-assessing and it didn't happen overnight. But he matured to realize that the strength of the pack is not in one wolf. One wolf is ferociously strong because of the strength of the pack. The pack is the one wolf. The one wolf is the pack. There's this incredible dance. You trying to fix it and lone wolf it, guys, and push it, push it, push it, like quadrupling down on what is not already working, will not work. What you need to do is to quadruple down on what works, what is meaningful for your queen, what is meaningful for your kids. The only way known to man for you transitioning from lone wolfing, quadrupling down on what should work, which is insisting with thinking, talking and taking action through the eyes of your childhood playbook, aka your persona, aka your ego, aka who you fucking believe you are. The only way to transition, and like Michael Jordan, you must transition. Michael would not have won maybe any of those titles if he did not soften in through self-awareness, through self-assessment and find new forms. And he matured and the man at the second part of his career was completely different in his personality as the guy at the first bit. Certain core elements still remained, but there's a maturing and an opening to it. So if you want the good shit, you must surrender and take it on the chin and take that pill and go, hey, it doesn't matter how the world fucked you over when you grew up. It doesn't matter how hard the hardness and resistance in your persona that's like, I'm not going to take shit from the world anymore. And I get that. I get that, guys. My nervous system perceived and saw and interpreted, misinterpreted and saw shit going down between my beautiful mom and beautiful dad, but it wasn't so beautiful, the energetics between them, a lot of the time. And I experienced a ton of emotional trauma going, fuck, intimate relating just isn't safe. And my childhood playbook was like, don't give your power away to a woman, ever. Don't do it, Mark. That's a frightening beast. A woman is a frightening beast. It's like, it's a control freak. It's a ton of things. My childhood story. Impossible for Matilda to relate with. I was impossible for Matilda to love and me to receive that love. Because why? My childhood playbook had underlying beliefs that assumed I didn't matter in the world. I didn't matter to her. My childhood playbook had these unquestioned assumptions of, I'm not lovable. I don't matter. I can't count on the feminine to respect me and honor me. She is unwilling to hold space for me. So my entire identity, unquestioned, without any self-assessment, was same shit, different day on repeat. And until I became aware of self-assessment as being a profound tool, it was same shit, different day. And I really pushed our marriage to the cliff edge. I was so close. I was like, at one point, I didn't know if I was one conversation, like for a period. I was aware that at the end of this conversation, Mark, your marriage could be gone. At the end of today, I don't know if when I get up tomorrow, will she want to be with you? Part of it, I didn't know if I would want to be with her. It was just so rancid and horrible. And yet, looking back, I'm like, wow. It's just incredulous to a point. But when you understand the process, well, it's believable in every single way. It's just based on a principle. And what is that principle, guys? I really passionately hope you're getting the point. Self-assessment is the one nourishment, the one medicine, the one pill you need to take again and again and again to break out of same shit, different day. And same shit, different day is what kills marriages. Every wife that files for divorce, and 70 to 90% of divorces are filed for by wives. Same shit, different day. They mightn't use that terms, but they're like just fucking sick of the bullshit on repeat. They're sick and tired of, they know you're a good man. They know you have so much love, but they're tired of having to fight with this part of you that they know is not you. They've seen the sweet version of you, the truly soft version of you, the loving version of you. They've seen it in windows. When they got to know you, it was there. But they're sick and tired that it's gone. And it went 10 years ago, 20 years, 15, 30 years ago, 2 years ago. Modern women are really just supreme beings because they're spiritually bringing a way more direct fire early on. It's a fucking good thing. So what's the solution? I want you guys knowing that there's a solution out there. And the solution to one of the greatest poisons in your marriage, same shit, different day, unquestioned happening on repeat, is the Heroic Husband's Marriage Self-Assessment Tool. It's available for free for every single one of you amazing men out there who want to matter where it matters most, at home, who want to tap into the limitless game of, literally having no limits to the amount of freedom and fulfillment you can experience when you flow with what's meaningful to you, meaningful to your queen, to your marriage, to being able to create connection, trust, and attraction as repeatable processes. The foundation for that is self-assessment, slowing down, stepping out of the river of same shit, different day. That's why retreats are so powerful. Same shit, different day, habitually, boom, 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 just happens, Groundhog Day. You go and retreat. What do you do in retreat? You self-assess. Self-assess meaning of your life, self-assess your spiritual connection, you're in silence. Self-assessment happens when you slow down. In this self-assessment tool, you have a comprehensive yet super ridiculously simple to do, to complete. There's a wave of powerful badasses, and I want to salute you fine, amazing, courageous men that have led the entire movement. There's, I think, about 30 guys. I just launched it last week. There's about 30, 35 guys that, hey, there's always those initial guys that go, yeah, let's fucking do it. I want. Well, I am setting the gauntlet down for the rest of you hundreds and thousands of men out there to follow in the footsteps of these courageous trailblazers that have already filled in the Heroic Husband's self-assessment tool. On average, I looked at the times, on average, it takes between 4 to 6 minutes to complete. It brings you through in super simple language. I've done 6 or 7 rewrites off this to make sure that I've went from mystical, poetic. My tendency is to be very wordy and to bring in way too many fucking syllables into my words, you might notice, and definitely my written word. But I've done 6 or 7 rewrites with support of my queen and with feedback from guys that did the initial versions of it to bring it down to really plain English. Hence, 30 statements, you score yourself 1 to 10 on them, and you do the scoring. It's like you get, in super plain, simple terms, how you're doing on 30 of the most important aspects of your married life that's happening day in, day out. It's very practical. It's easy to implement, easy to understand, easy to do. 4 to 5, 6 minutes. Some guys took, I think I saw 2 or 3 guys, they took 7 minutes. At the end of which, it's not just the assessment, you get a personalized printout of exactly where you're at. You'll get a PDF, you're brought to a results page, and you're given exact precise feedback on the 3 Heroic Husbands' masculine leadership characteristics: presence, progress, and protection. Presence is unwavering focus on the person you are with and the task you're on, you are performing to full completion. There's 10 questions breaking down presence. There's 10 questions breaking down progress, leading the conversations and system setup required to lead you and your family to your expanding life vision. And 10 questions detailing, letting you know exactly how you're doing on embodying protection. Protection is setting boundaries to stop forces that impede you and your family from living your authentic human expression. When you get the breakdown of that, you get the overall percentage and the percentages of presence, progress, and protection. So you have it black and white there in your face. You're like, okay, well, I'm at 52%. God, I need to improve on that. Or I'm really strong there, but those two I need to work on. It's really clear and really direct. We have not stopped there. We have went so far and beyond. I want to say a big shout out to Dwayne in Pondstone Agency. He's a long-term member of Heroic Husbands, the movement, a great practitioner. He's helping me out. Dwayne and myself took it down and we said next level. We want to serve these guys to the next level. It's not just a self-assessment where you get to score, albeit already that is such a marriage-transforming part of the experience. Over and above, to really over-deliver to you guys, we took a week extra to formulate. I did specific write-outs. So as though I related to it like you were a one-on-one client with me who has paid top euros to get the fullness of my one-on-one bespoke personalized feedback and challenge to you. You get not only the printout of the scorings and the percentages, but you get a tailor-made, you get 8 or 9, I think it's 9 specific points personalized to the exact score that you get. You get 3 points and challenges on how to upgrade and reach the next level of presence. 3 specific challenges, and they're super actionable things that you can upgrade your embodiment of progress. And 3 challenges that you can implement from taking that to upgrade protection. It's next fucking level. I am putting this out free to all of you. It's the type of things my one-on-one clients have had. They've had it with me direct. We made a formal tool of it, and we want to put this out to you guys in the world to have as a super potent tool. Coming into landing, like Michael Jordan was getting a certain amount of results. His body was transmitting a message that was evoking response. We are all in the exact same bind. As husbands, as lovers, as dads, as married men, we have a deep fucking yearning to feel limitless freedom and fulfillment in our everyday lives. And we've just not realized, we just don't know how to do that. Well, the only foundation that you can build limitless freedom and fulfillment in married life or in any aspect of your life is by surrendering into profound, super precise self-assessment. There is no other foundation. Without that foundation stone, the bridge of your marital efforts are going to collapse again and again. And no matter what you build, it won't come anywhere near to the fullness of radical transformation that is available. I fucking want the best of the best of the best of married life day-to-day experiences, not only for you, brother, my friend, but for you, for your beautiful queen, for your kids, and hey, the next seven generations afterwards. We are individually and collectively, as a movement of men, we are tasked with the most sacred challenge humanity has. I passionately believe every single one of us as husbands, as fathers, we are, in my experience, spiritually, inarguably the most important leaders on the planet. And great leaders receive feedback, but they lean into self-assessment. It's internal feedback. Feedback from where your heart and soul can look at the self-assessment and go, hey man, those ways of thinking, talking, and taking action, well, that's just not working out. So, hey, from this self-assessment, wow, there's a growth opportunity. If you could just tweak your thinking and thus your talking and taking action on that element and that element and that element, man, in a week's time, in a month's time, in 3 months' time, wow, fucking wow. Happy, healthy, horny is what comes after that. If you want to get a bit of self-centered masculinity, I want to feel happier, healthier, and hornier guys going forward. I want the good shit, the 5-star, 5-course meal from life, and I want you guys having it. I place the gauntlet in front of you. If you've listened into the end here, if you have invested your time to listening to all of this, I've one question. Will you add 4 to 5 or 6 simple minutes to your day and take the Heroic Husband's self-assessment tool now? Will you do that assessment now? Yes or no? You deserve to be playing with the infinite game of life, guys. The infinite game in marriage life, where infinite freedom and fulfillment is yours on a daily basis, with non-stop expansion as the days, weeks, months, years go by. Your queen is wanting you to play this game. Happy, healthy, horny. Attraction, trust, connection as repeatable processes. They are yours to experience on a daily basis, but only when you build a foundation of radical self-assessment of how you're showing up on a daily basis. Click into the podcast notes now. You will see the link to the Heroic Husband's Marriage Self-Assessment Scorecard for married men, and take 4 to 5, 6 minutes max, and you will have taken the single highest leverage, most powerful action in your marriage, maybe ever. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful, self-assessing, kingly day.